And we're back. It is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And I believe we are joined by Rachel Boothroyd. Are you there?
Hello? I am.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Hi.
I want everybody to read your article. It's in VenezuelaAnalysis.com. Am I right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. And you have very important news for us, I believe. That is that there is considerable political turmoil at the moment in Venezuela, but the media of the certainly of this hemisphere, the Anglophone media, is misreporting or not reporting at all. So give us some of the instances of this.
Right. I mean, you've probably heard, but there's been some anti-government protests which began at the beginning of April, and we actually saw these, these protests turn really violent from the around about the 4th of April onwards. When I say violent, what kind of things do I mean? Well, basically, there's been opposition, gangs which identify with the opposition to the government, which have been carrying out acts of vandalism. For instance, we've seen a building belonging to the Supreme Court justice has been torched with Molotov cocktails with a three-hour assault on the Supreme Court, opposition.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Did we lose? Are you there, Rachel? Hello, Rachel? We'll try to reach her again and just tell you that it's in Venezuela Analysis, an excellent site. At this point, we need those who will remind us to take care in how reporting is done. There's absolutely no question. Toronto Star, The Globe and Mail, The New York Times, Washington Post are like a cabal. They have the same point of view. And anything that happens in Venezuela bad will be attributed to the presidency of Mr. Maduro. Just as they were against Hugo Chavez, they are against Mr. Maduro. And they are very loose with the language. Hello, Rachel. I'm sorry. We lost you there briefly. Hello?
Hi, no problem. Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me now? By the way, there was a little wobble in the voice because of the, I guess, the connection. But if you could speak a little more slowly, could you say, when did these demonstrations start and who's behind them and how did they become a problem for the authorities?
Well, basically, these demonstrations have been called by the opposition to the government, the elected government of President Nicolas Maduro, which is a leftist government which has been in power for 18 years now, a democratically elected government, which I'd like to emphasize. Mm-hmm. So these protests and demonstrations were called at the beginning of April, basically in response to a Supreme Court order which basically decided that the judiciary or the Supreme Court would temporarily assume the functions of the National Assembly, which is currently in control of Venezuela's opposition, and it's been that way since the end of December 2015. Now, why did the Supreme Court decide to take that initiative? Well, basically, the National Assembly has been considered to be in contempt of court for the past 6 months, because it's in violation of a Supreme Court order, which is to remove three of its legislators who are currently under investigation for electoral fraud. So basically, the Supreme Court suspended these three legislators pending investigations, but that's been ignored by the National Assembly. Mm-hmm. So that's why basically we saw this kind of standoff between these two kind of branches of the government. Yeah. Now, the Supreme Court actually, partially retracted this ruling in response to there was a meeting of the National Security Council because of the opposition's reaction, and so this ruling was partially retracted. But the opposition decided to actually boycott talks with the government and to boycott the National Security Council meeting, and instead it said, we're taken to the streets. So they've been taken to the streets since the beginning of April, and maybe the first two or three days were, the a lot of people took to the streets. But like I said, from the 4th onwards, we've seen that these, you know, that these protests have turned very violent. And like I said, I've kind of, you know, named some kind of acts of, you know, very kind of violent vandalism, such as attacking an air base, for instance. Over the weekend, we saw that the government actually had to evacuate 54 babies and women and women in labor from a maternity hospital named after the former Venezuelan president and the leader of the Bolivarian Revolution, Hugo Chavez, because it was being attacked by these opposition violent gangs. Mm-hmm. Who were, you know, attempting to enter the hospital. They were throwing bricks through the windows, and so this entire hospital had to be evacuated. We've seen kind of government buildings looted. You know, like I said, the Supreme Court building was suffered from a three-hour-long arson attack. And we've also seen that 23 people have died so far. And, you know, you mentioned the mainstream media and how this is all being depicted in the mainstream press. And, you know, you kind of will not see really any coverage of these extremely violent protests on part of the opposition. And the deaths to date in the mainstream media have been appearing as if they were all to be attributed to government security forces, and that's not the case. We at Venezuela Analysis have been carrying out a kind of death count and all the conditions surrounding the deaths to date. And actually, if you actually look at the 23 people who have died to date, mm-hmm. There's been three people who have been killed by authorities. So that was two protesters and a bystander, and the policemen and army officials in question have been arrested and in two of the cases indicted by the public prosecution. There've actually been at least five people who have died who have been killed at the hands of opposition protesters. So there we have a young 13-year-old boy who was actually killed when opposition kind of supporters opened fire on one of the government's housing projects, mm-hmm. Which houses basically working-class people. So he died last week. There was another gentleman who died when he tried to cross one of the opposition roadblocks set up in Caracas. So they kind of set up these burning tires on the streets and they don't let people cross. And this gentleman, Oliver Villa Camargo, tried to cross and he was shot for crossing this opposition roadblock. There was actually an army sergeant who was also killed by protesters. Mm-hmm. Another gentleman who lost his life over the weekend when he was basically there was opposition led looting in El Valle, and this gentleman apparently tried to stop the looters from breaking into various kind of bakeries and restaurants, and he was shot. And then there was another lady who unfortunately died yesterday after she's been in a critical condition since the 19th of April. She was a nurse. She left her house to go to work on the 19th, and on the 19th was a very heated day in Venezuela, when both pro-government supporters and opposition supporters took to the streets, and there were hundreds of thousands of people on the streets. And this lady was basically somebody threw a glass bottle filled with iced water, frozen water at her, and it hit her on the head. And she's been fighting for her life for the past 3 days. Now, this is presumably thrown by an opposition supporter because there have been various public intellectuals and opposition leaders who have called for this violence on social media. For instance, there was a university professor who, you know, just before the 19th called on opposition supporters to, you know, to neutralize Chavista supporters and pro-government supporters. And he said on Twitter, even throwing flower pots will do. And then the day after, we see that this woman's been hit in the head from someone who's thrown this bottle from a high-rise building. There was also another, another lady, Ricardo Gonzalez, who's 89. She couldn't get to the hospital because of these opposition roadblocks. And then another nine protesters were electrocuted over the weekend when they decided to break into a bakery. And they've been electrocuted doing that. And so that's all under investigation by the public prosecution. But if you look in the mainstream media, there's no reference at all to the five, six, possibly seven people who've been killed by opposition violence. They attribute all the violence to the government security forces. And the second point, which I made in the article that you referenced, is that on the 19th, there were huge marches. Yes, the opposition turned out, and there was massive support for the opposition, but also pro-government supporters turned out, and there was a huge march, which is equal in number or possibly larger than the opposition's march, and that's not been commented on in the international press, which has just kind of presented this
very definitely
narrative that there is,
that we're not getting any reports about support for the government. It's really being told as a story of an outraged population, sea to sea or wall to wall, and et cetera. But by the way, I was going to ask you that. I mean, obviously, the government has mass support in some areas, and the opposition has some support. Is this what I'm reading here? Is it? It seems to be largely in Caracas. Can you tell what the atmosphere is and what the kind of political climate is in the country at the moment outside Caracas?
I mean, I'd definitely say it was tense. The city is divided between the east and west generally. The west tends to be the more working class area of the city, and the east is more middle upper class. The demonstrations on the part of the opposition historically take place in the east, and the mobilizations in favor of the government, largely take place in the west, because that's where the social base of the government is generally amongst working class people. Mm-hmm. and the opposition support is generally amongst the middle and upper class. It's hard to comment on an atmosphere because the city's so divided. So where I live, it's in the west. And, for instance, over the weekend, there was a street party. The kids were playing basketball just outside where I live. It was generally pretty much just the same as normal, although I'd say mm-hmm. people are very kind of, they're very kind of aware that there's this tense situation. And, I think a lot of people are ready to respond to that in terms of whether they're pro-government. That means taking to the street to defend the government in the case that there is some kind of attempted coup. But if you go to the east of the city, over the weekend, like I said, there were marches, there were pro-opposition marches, they blocked the highway, etc., and the metro was shut. And so, over in the east, and obviously there have been continued acts of violence as well, a metro worker was attacked, etc., on the opposition's march on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's not like a universal atmosphere in the city at the moment, because it depends really where you are, but I would say there is, it is tense. Mm-hmm. But obviously the violence to date has been kind of concentrated in the east of the city, except over the weekend in El Valle, that was, mm-hmm. that's kind of a popular zone, more or less, and so it did. Yeah. So the violence did actually reach there over the weekend. Mm-hmm.
This is Rachel Boothroyd, and with Venezuela Analysis, I urge everyone to please go to that site and read the article. And just a last question. I hear almost an echo of what was pulled in Brazil, where the Congress got frustrated and removed a president. I have the impression that they want to do to you what was done in Brazil. Do you get that? I say you, to the Venezuelan people. What do you think of that?
I think this is, very, very similar to what we saw in Brazil. But so far, the strategy hasn't been successful. The opposition came to power in the National Assembly, which is one of Venezuela's five branches of government, the legislature. They came to power in December 2015. And since then, we haven't seen them really try to pass legislation aimed at helping ordinary Venezuelans or trying to kind of resolve the country's economic crisis. We've seen them, try to promote initiatives such as retrospectively cutting short President Maduro's presidential term from five to 4 years in order to try and get the president out. There was one instance last year when President Maduro was away on a presidential visit for 2 or 3 days, and the parliament took advantage to declare that he had abandoned his post. So we've seen all
cynical.
These kind of initiatives throughout the president. Yeah, it's very cynical. Yes. And this is, this is another kind of one of those, those instances. Basically, when Parliament took power, the opposition took power in Parliament in December 2015, they said, we will have removed the national government within 6 months. And so they evidently came, you know, they gained that majority in elections, but they, you know, they haven't decided to use that majority to kind of, you know, as it's meant to be, you know, to legislate. No, they've used it deliberately to try and remove the elected president well ahead of time, because national elections aren't due until next year.
Yeah. Well, Rachel Boothroyd, we're really grateful we could talk to you. I think the cure for the mainstream media issue is that people read Venezuela Analysis. And
thanks very much.
Excellent article. I hope we can talk to you again soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.